So I spent a good amount of time this week thinking about that crowd that followed Jesus. Pastor Steve focused a lot on the disciples last week and they're multiplying and giving out, but I just kept coming back around to the crowd. Thinking about the crowd that's followed the monks from Texas to DC, people who just keep showing up. And from both the feeding of the 4,000 and then the feeding of the 5,000, I found myself thinking about who was in that crowd and what was their intention. What captured them so much that they didn't even want to leave to eat? And what did it mean to Jesus that they were there? So since COVID, I've become a bit of a hermit. Ask the only one that's currently in here, but I used to be the person looking to get out, go play games that lasted literal hours at my friend's house, to call my mom and drag her to Target with me just to get out of the house and not be alone. Sometime in the last 5 years, that's shifted. My kids ask to go out, and 9 times out of 10, it will be Adam taking them. Crowds stress me out. Movie theaters stress me out. My anxiety grips in my chest in the most inopportune times. And when I get home from a stressful day, I just want a cocoon. I wrap myself up in a big blanket, turn off the light, close the door. You put a book in my hands, and you've become my favorite human. Like, I've become solitary. And I guess this also comes with a profession where my name is said on average 150 to 200 times a day. That doesn't count all the extra questions that come along when they don't say my name and just holler at me. So I feel like I spend my days very overstimulated. And then those times where I don't have obligations, I go into a bubble. I say all of this to note that when I show up, it's very intentional. Yes, I'll show up when I'm needed, right? I'll sign up for things, but I won't often choose to go socialize for fun anymore. I've come to learn that for everything I say yes to, I'm saying no to someone or something else. If not in the immediate, then when I have to recharge later. So showing up has become hard for me, taxing. But in the same breath, it's also become more meaningful. And so I sat with that meaning this week as I was mulling on this sermon. And I'm just going to tell you up front, this isn't a crazy long sermon. As I was working on it yesterday and talking to my husband, and I read it for him, I said, I feel like anymore, I'm just adding words for time. So I like that I said that because Sherry's like, let me go heat some things. So I'm going to start with Matthew 14, 12 to 21, which we looked at last week as well. Jesus feeds the 5,000. So when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said, and he directed the people to go sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And I know Pastor Steve touched on this last week, but they estimate that there were 15 to 20,000 people there, including the women and the children. These were ordinary people who just felt the need to be there. Have you ever heard that phrase before? I didn't know what I don't know what I will do. I just need to be there. I didn't know how I could help. I just needed to be there. Last time I spoke with you all, I spoke about grief and things that have occurred in my life. So my daughter's birthday coincides with the anniversary of a diagnosis of a friend's son's HLH battle, February 15th. I didn't know what I could do. I literally couldn't do anything when I got a phone call that he was in the hospital. I just needed to be there. We are ingrained to show up, like it's in our DNA. Our very presence is a ministry, and we carry with us the Spirit of God. One of my favorite stories in scripture of showing up is the woman who longed to touch Jesus's robe seeking healing. I'm going to read from the Message, Matthew 9, 20 through 22. Just then, Jesus is making his way through the crowds. And just then, a woman who had hemorrhaged for 12 years slipped in from behind and lightly touched his robe. She was thinking to herself, if I can just put a finger on his robe, I'll get well. Jesus turned and caught her at it. Then he reassured her, courage, daughter, you took a risk of faith. And now you are well, and the woman was well from then on. Her risk of faith was showing up. I used to be severely anemic, and let me assure you, showing up for this woman was not an easy task. She was weary. After 12 years, she was bone deep tired. She was likely alone, cast out as dirty on the outskirts, and she likely felt unworthy to be there. And still, she showed up. And the Lord rewarded her faithfulness, her quiet courage. And what of the disciples? They showed up to travel with Jesus on faith alone. Before they ever passed out bread, before they organized crowds, before they preached or healed, they showed faithfulness in one simple way. They went. Matthew 4, 18 through 22 says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus met these men as fishermen in the middle of their ordinary work. They were busy, responsible, and in a routine. And Jesus simply says, follow me. And what did the disciples do next? They didn't ask for a strategic plan, request clarity, demand qualifications. They showed up. They stepped into uncertainty, not knowing where the journey would lead, not knowing what it would cost or how it would end. Faithfulness didn't begin with miracles, it began with showing up. Showing up to walk with Jesus before they understood at all, could even fathom what that would mean. The disciples also showed up before they were ready. They were not trained. They were certainly not polished. My brother won't even let me go down to the docks in Seaford, where the fishermen are. He says it's not a place you need to be. Fishermen are not typically very polished humans, right? But what were they doing? Well, Mark 3:14 tells us, he appointed 12 that they might be with him. Jesus was just looking for people who didn't know anything other than they needed to be there. He wanted people to show up with him. And so they were simply there. And now, as Jesus begins moving through the world, crowds begin following him from town to town, like those who knew nothing else other than how they felt near this man. Some received healing, some witnessed miracles, all of them exercised faithfulness. Was it convenient? Was it comfortable? Have you ever tried to get your kid to even sit in church for an hour? And here these moms were keeping their kids in front of Jesus for how long? It wasn't comfortable. It wasn't easy. I challenge you that sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is say yes before you feel ready, is follow before you understand, and is to show up before you feel equipped. Sometimes showing up to serve is an act of faith because you don't know. You don't know if it will be enough. You don't know if it will matter. And you don't know if it will last. But you stay anyway. And God works through the people who stay. The crowd could have left when it got late, when the kids were complaining they were hungry, when it started to get uncomfortable. They could have said, "We got to go home. This has been great." But they stayed. And the miracle met them there. That is when they saw the multiplying of the bread and the fish. Breakthrough often lives on the other side of showing up and staying. The miracle met the hemorrhaging woman after 12 years when she didn't give up. Mary Magdalene showed up and stayed at the cross to then witness the resurrection. So, how do we reconcile this message with the reality of the trauma that we all lived through 5 years ago, where we were told not to show up, stay home, isolate, stay safe? And they weren't wrong. We had to do it. As I wrote this last night, because that's how I work, I teared up, remembering how lonely of a time that was. Desperate for connection, to be able to show up, but scared. People in hospitals, and you're physically kept from them. You're not allowed to show up. Some of that damage hasn't been undone. I came out of it a changed person. But I know I'm still called to show up. And then I remember we found ways. People standing in the parking lots of the hospital looking up at their loved ones through the windows. Sitting on one end of my camper while my best friend sat on the other side and we opened up the window so there was ventilation so it felt safer. Or measuring how many feet at the end of the driveway so you could sit on one side and your friend could sit on the other side and you could still talk face to face, pulling cars up. We looked like the cops that, you know, sit and talk while they're waiting to give you a ticket. We just pull up in the parking lot side by side and sit and talk through our windows, right? We found ways. Zoom church, Zoom school, Zoom everything. In fact, we opened doors for ways to connect from afar. And we continue and will continue to find ways to show up when things are scary for other reasons. Maybe it's standing on a corner with a protest sign. I'll tell you, I've never felt so connected than when you show up with like-minded humans. Maybe it's calling people to talk about what you care about, calling your senators, calling your congressmen. Maybe it's sending letters and cards to places we can't physically go. Maybe it's less glamorous, showing up to pray, even when it feels like nothing changes. Showing up to parent, even when it's thankless. Showing up to teach when progress is slow and it feels judgment is high. Showing up to love when it's inconvenient. And showing up to serve when maybe no one notices. Showing up isn't glamorous. Staying isn't glamorous. It's hard. But it's where God does his work. You don't have to be extraordinary. You just have to show up and stay where Jesus is working. Because God builds his kingdom through people who show up and stay. And as we move towards Lent, we often begin with one question: what am I giving up? But maybe this year we ask a different one. What is keeping me from showing up in love? Is it busyness, pride, exhaustion, control, distraction? Because Lent isn't meant to pull us away from people. It's meant to remove whatever keeps us from being present with them. Lent becomes less about withdrawal and more about removing the barriers to a faithful presence. Think about Jesus. After the wilderness, after the fasting and the silence and the solitude, what did he do? He showed up. He showed up to weddings. He showed up to crowds. He showed up to the sick. He showed up to the grieving. His time apart didn't make him less available. It made him more present. So maybe the question this Lent isn't, what am I stepping away from? But what am I laying down so I can show up more fully? Adam said I should end this with a challenge. So this is my challenge. This week, identify one thing that keeps you from showing up in love. Not forever, not perfectly, just one. And lay it down so you can show up with patience, show up with compassion, and show up with presence. Because God works through people who stay. And sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is simply show up. Today's hymn of response. First off, it's funny because Mike and I both picked it completely separately. But it's an intentional video that we're going to watch. It was made during COVID. And I asked Noah to keep the beginning part. You're going to see the song gets introduced, and then you're going to see a list of names. And it's names of people. This is a congregation, and it's names of people who during COVID passed away. And it's dedicated to a group of people, and you're going to see their pictures. And then you're going to see how a congregation found a way to show up for one another by still coming together. And if we could show up then, surely we can show up now.